Florida, Miss Lisa Jimenez.
Thank you, Vic. Welcome, everybody. I want to get started tonight on week three of the Rich Life course with a couple of the visions that were sent in to me. I did receive several. I'm only going to read two tonight. But if you haven't faxed in your vision that we talked about last week, crafting that compelling vision, which is so vital for your success, for your mindset to be able to see the future. If you haven't done that yet, fax that in to me. My fax number is 954-796-0549. And here's the first one. "This for me is a lovely part of my day," she says. "I approach my beautiful new home in this lovely Sussex village with anticipation. Our children safely deposited at school, and our cleaning lady, Jean, is due at 9:30 a.m. As I park up on the drive, lock the car, reassuring she whispers goodbye, I glance around at the ordered neatness of the front garden. Those gardeners were right. With the tree bark down between the shrubs, it really does set them off beautifully. And the crocuses are looking just great. My father has seen me arrive back and comes out to greet me at the front door. The rich smell of coffee brewing mingles with the pungent odor of the stargazer lilies." I don't even know what stargazer lilies are, but they sound fascinating, on the hall table. And she goes on to describe this vision, this day of hers and her future life. Here's another one. "I worked hard on achieving those dreams I posted on the wall in 2004. It feels so good to be able to drive my Mercedes Roadster. It sure is a far cry from my 1994 Saturn. How awesome to live in Hawaii so I can enjoy having the top down almost all the time. I don't even care if my hair blows around. It's almost the same feeling I get when I ride my motorcycle. Pure freedom. And speaking of motorcycles, I'm so excited that I finally moved up to a bigger bike and was able to buy that custom Harley Davidson I had my eye on for so long. It's a good thing we have a bigger house now with a four-car garage to keep all our new toys in. I love that I can walk out on our huge lanai and look through the palm trees and see the beautiful ocean. As I sit by the pool, dangling my feet in the warm water, I can smell the salt water, plumerias, and ginger all around me. This truly is paradise." And then this goes on. This was about 6-7 paragraphs of this vision. I mean, can you just feel that, the feeling of these unbelievable visions? This is what we're talking about, people. This is what we brought up last week, the importance of being able to see your future. Because so often, my friend, people will say they want something, and then they don't write it down. They don't craft that compelling vision to keep them motivated on a daily basis, to build the momentum, to be able to pick up that 3,000-pound phone and make those sales calls. This kind of work, this kind of visionary thinking, writing down this 30-second trailer of success is what I call it, writing this down and repeating this to yourself, reading and rereading this to yourself, will give you amazing energy, amazing insight, and an incredible power booster for your belief system. When you start really believing this vision, you'll start manifesting it on the physical plane. So we know the importance of vision. So let's go right into tonight's lesson. And we're going to be talking about part two from last week, which is breaking through the boundaries. There are some boundaries to this rich life. And according to my research and even personal experience, we're going to continue on breaking through those boundaries. Last week we talked about physical boundaries, like clarity and cleaning up the clutter. Being clear about what you really want, which led us right into crafting that vision. And those were more left brain boundaries. Tonight we're going to be talking about some right brain boundaries and some heart issues. And what we're going to talk about tonight the most is beliefs, your belief system. There is one profound truth about beliefs, and that is your beliefs are the driving force behind your success. Because beliefs cause you to do one of two things. beliefs will cause you to repel success. You'll actually repel it, or you won't even notice opportunity. That's how powerful beliefs are. They'll cause you to repel success, sabotage success, or not even notice it. Or beliefs will cause you to attract success. Your beliefs are the driving force behind where you are today. So if what I would ask you right now, what was your dream 2 years ago, 5 years ago, last year, and did you manifest it on the physical realm? Is it happening today? Are you living that dream? If the answer is no, it's because your beliefs were not set in concrete, in stone. The conviction was not there. So let's talk about how do we create such an empowering belief system and adopt it. Now think of the word adopt. Make it your own. You make it your own. How do we do that? So that we can make sure we are standing on a firm foundation of empowering beliefs, that we actually attract opportunity to us. Now, before we even go on, I need to ask it, do you really believe that? Do you believe you have that much power? Do you really believe that your beliefs have that much power? That your beliefs actually cause you to repel success or attract success? Now let's talk about what that looks like when we repel success. How could that be? What kind of beliefs would we be having or adopting to actually cause us to repel opportunity or sabotage our success? Well, you know, they're pretty basic things. Things like, it's lonely at the top. You know, we have that saying in our society, we have that belief, even in our own minds and hearts, that we think it's lonely at the top. We see particular movies and articles written in magazines and fantasy stories and real-world stories about people who, you know, lose it all when they become this big, successful CEO or corporate head or entrepreneur, and we think that's our reality. So we have these sayings that actually cause us to repel success. It's lonely at the top. There's never enough time. There's always something. You know, did you even say that today? There's never enough time. You know, when you feed yourself that belief and you really believe that, even if you're saying it in a flippant way, oh, there's never enough time. Well, your subconscious doesn't know the difference between a flippant statement and reality and fact. It's just like a computer. So it hears you say that, and then it computes, boop, 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 and then spits out that reality. There's never enough time, and you'll actually attract chaos in your life. Think of the person who's not getting enough attention or enough love. We're going to talk next week about some more barriers that I see in the field of psychology. And one of them is this very topic about thinking that, you know, we cause all this chaos in our lives because we're bored. Have you noticed that when you're not working on your goal or you're just bored of your goal, chaos starts popping up everywhere? Why is that, people? Why do we do that? So often we get addicted to the adrenaline rush of being busy and having an important goal. And then when we start getting bored and lax in our goal, we're not getting that excitement need met, we're going to actually cause things in our lives to sabotage our lives that we get that need met in an unhealthy way. So we got to tell the truth about our beliefs. Where do you stand? Where do I stand in our belief system? And then we have to say, you know, where are these beliefs taught and why are they so ingrained in us? And from my research, I see that they're taught in really 7-8 particular areas. The first being family and tradition. You know, we've heard it's said in our families and in tradition that, you know, it's just the way it is. It's just the way our family is. You know, we talked a lot in the Rich Life email course about strongholds on family, strongholds like alcoholism, a stronghold like poverty, a stronghold like limiting beliefs, a stronghold like abuse. And so often people will experience that in their youth and grow up and repeat that same stronghold. They'll repeat that same character and that same behavior because they think that that's what their life is supposed to be. And no one has ever told them, or someone has told them and they didn't believe it, that they have the power to change their life. So let me tell you tonight, if this is the first time you've heard this, or if this is just the first time you're willing to accept this truth, that you have the power to change your family history. You have the power to change your family history. If you have a history of alcoholism in your family, it is you that has the power to change your family's story with the choices that you have, the choices that you make today and tomorrow and next week about alcohol. If you have a stronghold of abuse on your family, a stronghold of poverty on your family, you have the power, you have the cards in your hand to rewrite your family history. And that's why you're into personal development. That's why you're chosen. Yes, you've been chosen. So are you willing to step up to the plate and fulfill that purpose put upon you to change your family's history? You know, I am so proud of my family name, the Kelly name. That's my maiden name. So proud of that. When my kids were born and they were born into the Jimenez family and we would take them to birthday parties, I would drive them in the car and they were young. We're talking 3, 4, 5 years old. And I would say, you know, Ariana or Bo or Connor, you're the only representative of the Jimenez name at that party. So watch your behavior and behave like a Jimenez. You know, you and I could do that every day. Take pride in your family name. Rewrite your family history. You have the power to break through these strongholds. This is exciting stuff, people, because we can see a whole new future for our family name, a whole new future for our race, a whole new future for our gender. Yes, you have that kind of power. It begins with you and me. It begins with an empowering belief system. So we believe that life is not for us. We are not for that. We were not born to behave like that or to continue in that stronghold. So the first way beliefs are taught to us is family and tradition. The second way is in society. Society has beliefs like, and statements rather, society has statements that we flippantly say like, filthy rich. Oh, he's filthy rich. So in our subconscious, we hear these kind of statements and we're thinking, gosh, whoever wants to be filthy? Not me. How about you? So we equate being rich and filthy, filthy rich. So I say these things to you because you might think these are loose, light things. They're not. They have power. Words have power. Words create beliefs. So watch your vocabulary. Watch what you say. Watch what you allow being said around you. Filthy rich is one of the strongest negative beliefs towards wealth. What about this one? Oh, they may not be rich, but at least they're honest, or at least they have love, or at least they are nice, or at least they have a family, or you know what it is? It's pacifying this belief. It's pacifying what we are allowing ourselves to become. So really the buck stops with us, doesn't it? With you and with me, to change these negative beliefs by changing what we say, changing these statements in society. What about, they're just poor as a church mouse? Like it's, you know, if you go to church and you're a spiritual person and you're of religious faith and you're supposed to be poor, you know, and we talked about that last week and the week before. There's no place in Scripture that talks about it being a sin to be rich. The only missing the mark of wealth is when wealth or money becomes your God and not your servant. As we said last week, money is a very good servant. And money makes a terrible God. What about media? That's another way that our beliefs are taught to us. by watching the news, reading particular newspapers, magazines, watching movies, blockbuster movies. We need to have our safeguard up. I mean, I would recommend, and I do this with my personal coaching clients, just stop watching those movies and stop watching TV for a period, for a while, for a season. Look at your life in seasons. And let's say for 3 months you're not going to watch any TV. Just to start cleaning that out, filtering it out. And then you watch your behaviors when you're around the TV after not watching it for 3 months. You will be shocked at how conditioned you were. You will be shocked at what you allowed your eyes to watch and your ears to hear. You see, we are so conditioned. It's like, remember when Jaws came out, that movie Jaws, like in the 70s, I think? I can remember going to watch Jaws. And the first shark attack with all that blood and gore was horrific. You're sitting in your seat thinking, I cannot believe I'm watching this. And then the movie goes on, and then there's a second shark attack, and you're still horrified, but you kind of get used to the blood. And then the third shark attack comes in the movie Jaws, and then, you know, you're like, yeah, the shark's attacking. It's amazing how even in a two-hour movie, you get conditioned to this horror. So I think what we need to do is filter this stuff for a season. Stop watching it for a season. And then when you go back to it, you'll be of a stronger commitment to be able to say, oh, I choose not to watch that. Or I've got my filter up that this is a negative belief that's being taught to me. I'm choosing not to believe that. But right now, you and I are just conditioned. We're not even shocked at what we're watching on TV. And I'm not talking about just sex and violence. I'm talking about messages like, isn't it amazing that all these TV shows show parents as being stupid? Aren't you sick and tired of watching these sitcoms with just dumb parents? I mean, what is this media trying to portray? What are they doing? To me, it's just like this huge conspiracy to break down the family. And I know you're thinking, oh, gosh, Lisa, you're being too dramatic. But am I? Really? And we're just so conditioned to watching it, and we laugh at it, and we think it's funny to portray the dad as just a stupid idiot, and the mom is dumb, and the kids have it all together. Or the one that, you know, who really doesn't have it all together is always portrayed as the one that, you know, everyone turns to for advice. So have your safeguards up. And you know how you get those safeguards up? You disengage for a season. Stop watching that stuff for a season. Stop reading the newspaper for a season. And then when you're more powerful, when you're cleaner is like a better word, then when you start watching it again, your filters are energized, and you'll be able to filter this stuff. Because people, they're powerful. I'm telling you, you and I don't even realize the power that the media and movies and society has over us. Then another way beliefs are taught to us is through friends. Just this influence of friends. You know, I believe it was Psychology Today did a study about the importance of parents and how they have an effect on their kids up until they're 6 years old. And then they say starting at 7, 8, 9, which is when a child starts school, their friends actually have more influence on them than their own parents. Oh, that's why I have it on my heart so much for stay-at-home moms. And I know it's so hard to be a stay-at-home mom. I know it's difficult to survive financially as a stay-at-home mom. But I'm telling you have 6 years where your kids see you as the main influence. And then guess who is their main influence? Their peers. Their friends. So choose your friends wisely. Have your kids choose their friends wisely. That's the power of friendship, of the bond of friends. So what about now as an adult? You know, you've heard it said by many speakers and self-help gurus that the income of your 5 closest friends will very much reflect your income. And that is true. So look at the people that you hang with. Look at your 5 closest friends. And really discern about, again, look at your life at seasons. Discern about maybe taking a break from some of these people for a season and then rekindling the friendship if you choose to. but friends have a very strong influence on us, and they do help us create beliefs. And very often, it's not beliefs that are empowering. So be thinking about that. Discern that. Where do you need to tell the truth about your sphere of influence, your friends, your colleagues, your peers? Another thing is we don't want to be judged by them. We think, you know what, we just don't want to rock the boat. You know, our life is pretty good. It's not great, but it's pretty good. So we think if we build this big, successful business, would we lose our friends? I don't know. We don't know that. What happened to me is I had that tremendous fear. And then when I started disowning that fear and just facing it and rebuking it and just saying, you know, I'm not going to follow that fear. I'm just not going to believe in that. And I started to build my business in lieu of that fear, in spite of that fear. And when I began to grow my business and became the success that I always wanted to be, I did lose some friends. I did. And I know that hurt. That hurt me. It hurt them. And it is a real possibility that could be for you. But it could be that these friends grow with you. See, we don't know, but we don't let another human being hold us back. Religion is another belief, another area that beliefs are taught to us. You know, religion can be the enemy of God. When religion or even tradition becomes your God, who you are following, it's a dangerous place to be in. And that's where religion turns into almost cult behavior. So I want you, again, to go internally and discern your beliefs. Are they beliefs based on truth? Or are they beliefs based on fear, fear-based religious beliefs? And this is touchy ground here, I understand. But one thing I know, you know, I love my faith. I love the church I attend. I love my pastor. And I know with God's infinite wisdom that my pastor is a man. He's not God. And I know with all my heart that every human being is a man, is a woman, is human. You know, we idolize these pastors so much. No wonder they fall. You know, we idolize these priests and rabbis so much. No wonder they fall. You know, don't put your hope, your beliefs, don't create these people into gods. Be careful about that. And I know that's a touchy subject, but you know what? Just spend some time just between you and you and be thinking about just those words that I shared and just discern it and make some decisions for yourself that's right for you. And then definitely habit. You know, people, these beliefs that have been taught you, now they've just become habits. That's all. So what does it take to change it and break a habit? I don't believe you can break a habit without changing it. That's all. Just change it. And how do you change it? By changing the belief behind it. So you may have a belief that, oh, your family just doesn't make more than $50,000 a year, or your race just doesn't have jobs like that, or your gender, you just don't have opportunities like that, or your kind of person where you live or where you hang out. You know, miracles just don't happen to people like you. You know, these are not true statements. You know, today I was recording the Rich Life course on CD that's coming out in a couple of weeks. And one of the things I said on the tape, one of the most important things on the CD is about, do you believe you are the kind of person that miracles happen to? Do you believe you are the kind of person that great things happen to? Think about that. You know, you hear on the radio station when someone wins something, they say, I won, I'm the ninth caller, I never win anything. You never win anything? Do you ever find yourself saying things like that, statements like that? Those are limiting beliefs, my friend. Miracles are happening to you all day long. Are you open to them? Do you see things beyond the physical? Are you willing to experiment in the supernatural? Are you willing to see the invisible? Are you open to the invisible? You know, the spiritual realm sees the invisible and the physical. They see both. The physical realm only sees the physical. So if you are relying on logic and you are building your mind and relying only on reason and logic, my friend, you are missing out on 90% of the miracles that could happen in your life, because 10% would happen by chance, because that's how miracles are. Did you know that NASA, with all its supercomputers, NASA, with its multi-billion dollar budget, cannot duplicate the flight pattern of a dragonfly? It cannot duplicate the flight pattern of a bumblebee. The bumblebee and the dragonfly aerodynamically should not be able to fly. It's impossible. The bumblebee and the dragonfly deny logic. It's not logical that they fly. And yet even today in my backyard, I saw dozens of them flying around. Oh, my friend, are you open to the invisible? Are you open to the supernatural? What's your beliefs about that? The dragonfly and the bumblebee deny logic. And NASA, with its billion-dollar budget, cannot duplicate that flight pattern. With all its logic and all its computers and all its reason, it cannot duplicate a miracle. So what about you? When was the last time you denied logic? When was the last time you stepped out in faith and you called on your belief and you walked the razor line of fear and faith and you denied logic? Because when you believe you are a person who miracles happen to, the only reason miracles happen to me is because I believe in them. I believe I'm the type of person that miracles happen to. So what about you? Where are your beliefs today? And going through this list of family, tradition, society, media, friends, religion, habits, look on page 14 in your Rich Life workbook and just jot down some things that are going on in your mind and your heart. Next to those words, identify some negative beliefs about living a rich life. What about it? Family tradition. What things are going on in your mind right now? Jot it down. Society. What negative beliefs do you need to break through about some statements that you still find yourself saying on a daily basis? Media. Are you willing to take a leave of absence, a sabbatical, for a season from TV, movies, and newspapers, magazines, the influence of the media? And then when you're ready to go back to it and watch it again, are you willing to put up the filters? Listen to your innate wisdom? What about friends? I know some of you are hurting about this topic right here. Write it down. What are you thinking? And then, release it right now and come back to it tomorrow. Religion, write it down. Habits, what strongholds have become a habit for you? Family strongholds, your family name. You were born to rewrite your family name. Then let's talk about on page 15 of your Rich Life workbook, talking about these breaking of the strongholds from the past. Let's talk about money. You know, we have a stronghold about money. Think about when you were a little kid and you would pick up a dollar and put it by your mouth or put a quarter in your mouth, as all kids do. You taste everything, touch everything. That's how we experience things. What was your parents' reaction? If they're like most parents, they would probably smack your hand and say, get that out of your mouth. That's dirty. Describe your first money memory. Go back to 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 7 years old. What is your first money memory? For me, I remember my parents used to go to bingo every Friday night. They went to bingo. They loved playing bingo. It was at the church bingo thing. So every Friday night we went to bingo. And money, we had four kids, and my dad made about $50,000 a year. And we all went to private school, and we all had a nice home. So my dad was very good with money, but very tight with money. And I can remember going here, and he gave me a dollar on Fridays to be able to spend on chips or candy, whatever I wanted at the snack bar. A whole dollar. And I can remember losing that dollar. I couldn't find it. And the heartbreak of have you ever lost money as a kid? You lose money? That's creating a belief system right there. You know, we put so much emphasis on money, and as a little kid to lose a dollar was a huge amount of money. And then the dollar was found. And I said, that's my dollar. And another kid said, that was his dollar. And I can remember the mother of that other kid taking sides with her child and telling me that I was lying. And I can remember that feeling. I still remember today. I was 6 years old, and that was my first money memory, that money would cause people to lie. So what about you? What's your first money memory? One of my clients shared with a story with me one time and said her first money memory was of her father's store. They owned a little store, like a mom and pop convenience store. And one day the store caught on fire, and everybody was inside, the family, and everybody ran out as soon as they noticed the fire, called for the fire department, and that little girl watched her daddy run back into a blazing building and pick up a cash register with money in it, and the cash register was on fire. It was burning like hot coals, and this man picked it up and ruined and scorched his hands and his wrists from carrying this cash register. Her first money memory was, you die for money. You die for it. You run back into a burning building. It's that important. Now think of that childhood memory and fast forward 30 years into adulthood. Fast forward 20 years when we're dealing and working and taking care of money. Don't you think those things have an effect on how you run your business? You bet they do. So this is about telling the truth again tonight. Think back about what your first money memory was and decide if you want to change those beliefs that were created way back then about money. Another one is listing connotations of your family heritage about living rich. You know, my kids and I just went to see the new Adam Sandler's movie about 50 First Dates. And, you know, it's based in Hawaii, and it's about this guy who lives in Hawaii, and his best friend is a Hawaiian. And, you know, I lived in Hawaii. I lived in Hawaii for almost a year when I was 19 years old. I know the Hawaiian people. They are hard workers. They are good people. And this movie portrays Hawaiians as just stupid, fat, lazy people. And it just irked me, you know, it just irked me because I know the Hawaiian people. I know the Hawaiian culture. They're not like that. But this is what this movie portrays. So we can start, you know, we watch these things and we become judgmental about our own heritage or other people's heritages. So what connotations are on your family heritage about living rich? Do you have role models that fit your heritage, your race, your gender, that prove in your belief system that you are the type of person, you are the gender, you are the heritage, you are the type of race that rich living happens to, that miracles happen to? If you don't have role models like that, find them. Go to the library tomorrow. Go to the bookstore tomorrow and go to the biography section and begin just immersing yourself in these true life, real world success stories. Read these biographies. They are empowering. Read these biographies from people of your own gender, your own race, your own heritage. So you can break the strongholds that are put on your heritage, your gender, your race, and change your history. Rewrite it starting today. I mean, this is exciting stuff, people. You have the power to do this. So you start believing these things when you see it in other people. It helps confirm. It gives you confirmation about your beliefs. So that begins with biographies. So who wants to take that challenge? Who's willing? Yep, I'm willing. If you are, write it down on your homework for week 3 that you'll go to the library or the bookstore tomorrow. Check out a biography that just stimulates you, that motivates you, that's going to confirm your beliefs. So let's move on here on page 15 and talking about labels that we have about money. What were they? Write it down. Did you write a note about your first memory about money? And then later on tonight or tomorrow, go through it again. Write it even more. Live it through so that you can let it go. Or if it's empowering, that you can affirm it and confirm it. What about childhood nicknames? You know, this is a big one. Childhood nicknames. When I was a little girl, we used to go to some friend's house on a regular basis. They had a daughter named Michelle. She was the same age as me. And they always called Michelle the princess. And I guess there could only be one princess, because when I was around Michelle, they called me the Duchess. Now, I can still remember today. I'm 41 years old, and I can still remember how much I hated that nickname, the Duchess. Now, I know Duchess is royalty. It's royalty. But in my 5-year-old little mind, a Duchess was not royalty. Duchess was clearly second place. That nickname had such a profound effect on me that jumping forward 3 years, when I was starting to in my dance competition, I loved to dance. Every competition I had, I came in second place. Then I got into public speaking, and I had speaking competitions when I was in middle school, second place. Even in my, I loved to sew. I was an accomplished seamstress when I was in high school. Every competition I entered in 4-H, I came in second place. This was a pattern, a habit of second place, because people, I had second place thinking. And then I entered beauty contests in my latter teens, and every beauty contest I entered, I got second place. You know, and looking back at that, you think, how could a nickname have that much power? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I just know that it does. So what childhood nickname did you have that you need to think about and dispel and change? What childhood nickname did you have that is still affecting you today? Someone wrote me not too long ago and said that the high school nickname he had, you know, in the yearbook when they write most likely to succeed, they had his picture and his name, and underneath it said, most likely to be broke. Wow. You know, you think, it's just a high school picture. It's just a most likely to be broke. What's the big deal? That affected him for years and years until he went through my Rich Life email course and got to the day that talked about high school nicknames, childhood nicknames, what do you have to break through, what's still affecting you today. And he was emotional. He was overwhelmed that, oh my gosh, that nickname still affects me today. What about you? What childhood nickname or high school memory or money memory is still affecting you today, is causing you to limit yourself, causing you to sabotage success? What do you need to change today? And then we talk about making more money than our parents. This is a big one. It was for me. You know, I noticed when I started my network marketing business, I was on a roll. I jumped into leadership position. I was making money right away, making profit right away. And then I noticed for 3 years in a row, I never made more than $45,000. And I was working harder. I was doing more. I had more people under me. I had a stronger unit. What was going on? And I remember chatting with my mom about this and just noticing, isn't it weird? I can't seem to break this $45,000 thing. It's ridiculous. I know so many more people are making tens more than that, you know, double that, 10 times more than that. And she said, isn't that interesting? That's how much your dad made. Wow. A light bulb went out when she said, that's how much your dad made. You know, people, this is all in the subconscious. But subconsciously, I was keeping myself from making more than my dad because I believed or I thought it was dishonoring to him. When that couldn't be further than the truth. I mean, he is so proud of my success. In May, I shared with you the first week. In May, we're all going to Hawaii together for a week, and I treated him to the most unbelievable house on the island of Maui that I rented for them and for my family too. And they couldn't be more proud of my success, more proud that I make 10 times more than he ever made. But I didn't know that. I don't know why. I just didn't. I felt in my subconscious that it was dishonoring to make more than my dad. What about you? What beliefs are still affecting you today? What beliefs are still holding you back that you need to come to a point where you're acknowledging it and then choosing to change it? Because when you change your beliefs, you change your behavior. And then when you change your behavior, you begin to change results and change your life. You know, it doesn't start with just the behavior. It starts with your beliefs. What are your beliefs about money? What childhood or high school nicknames are still holding you back? What are your beliefs about making more money than your father or your mother? What are your beliefs about being in a happy, loving, fulfilling marriage when maybe your parents didn't have that? What are your beliefs about breaking the strongholds of alcoholism or poverty or abuse? Do you see yourself as a person who miracles happen to? You know, before we go into the homework, I want to open up the lines here. Can we, Vic, and just see what's on people's minds and hearts right now as we go through this breaking through boundaries to the rich life and before we get on to the homework assignment?
Okay. Who has the first question?
Lisa?
Yes.
Have you had any experience with a professional hypnotic help in changing beliefs?
I have seen it done. My belief is that I choose not to believe in that form of changing beliefs. I believe I can do it and people can do it with their own minds. I am very cautious and concerned about hypnosis. What are your thoughts about hypnosis?
I was just curious because I belong to a network group and there's a professional hypnotist there. And some folks have had good experiences with changing habits, smoking, et cetera, and that sort of thing. And even probably more personal things that they don't discuss in public.
I believe we have the same power in our own minds. I don't think another human being should hypnotize you or another human being. I have caution about that. I have concern about hypnotism. And I don't think it's necessary. I think you can do the same power in your own mind. You know, and this isn't about covering up something. This is about exposing it. This is about having the courage to tell the truth, exposing it, even if it's just to yourself. And then having the courage. Because when something's exposed, when this fear is exposed or a lie is exposed, it loses its power. So we have something even more powerful than hypnosis. We have our own mind, our own heart, our own spirit to transcend us. And that's the power. That's powerful. It's about renewing your mind. And we have that in ourselves, our own power to do that. So, you know, I know probably some people on this call love hypnosis and believe in it. I have caution about it.
Thank you.
Anybody else? What are your thoughts about some childhood nicknames or anything going through your mind or hearts about this first memory of money.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Sally.
Hi, Sally.
I remember my dad is very cautious with money. Mm-hmm. If he was to give me some money for something, I kind of had to ask for it, and I felt uncomfortable about that. And he would turn the coins over in his hand and look at them selectively, you know, well, I'll let you have that one and that one, and you be very careful with it now, you know, or you won't get any more, if you see what I mean. And looking at my behavior with money, I feel that I'm very much the reverse. I'm very disrespectful of money, in as much as I've been known to lose checks for huge amounts of money, just mislay them, just not be careful about where I put them, and you know, in ways of clearing up, I'll find coins tucked away here, there, and ever, and not be you know, careful about collecting them. Oh, you know, it's 50p. Hey, what's that? I've become aware of that and I'm changing it. You know, I don't step over pennies on the ground anymore. Just because it's only a penny, I won't pick it up. And I try to think of it as just being, you know, not look after the pennies so much, but be respectful of that, of what it is and what it represents. And I just question whether I am careless with it because he was so careful.
Let me ask you this, Sally. What is this behavior of being careless with money? How is it serving you? How does it fill you up to do that? How is it serving you?
Well, I don't believe it's right. I think.
But somehow it's serving you, or you would stop doing it. So it's in other words, it's fulfilling a need in you. What is the need that it's fulfilling?
Perhaps I don't want to be bound by money, in a sense.
Okay.
You know, if I'm careless with it, then I'm saying it doesn't mean that much to me.
Mm. Does it mean that much to you?
Well, ultimately, it has to.
Yes. Do you think it has anything to do with control? For example, when you have a flippant attitude about money, well, you know, I lost this check and it was a huge amount of money, but oh well, you know. When this is flippant attitude about money, does that give you any form or sense of control? Like, for example, I'm going to, you know, it's controlling. I'm going to show my dad it doesn't matter.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that big word control came up for me last week when I was doing the homework and things.
Okay.
Oh dear.
That's okay. Good. This is huge. This is a breakthrough. I want you to write the word control on your homework page there for homework week number 3, 16, and just ponder that word. Ponder that possibility that this is a control issue for you. This is a control that you're not going to let your dad have a thumb on you and tell you what to believe or make money more important than you. A little girl staring at him with sweet eyes, asking for money, and then he would flip the coin very slowly. This is a control thing. So your extreme behavior is controlling it back. And we know it's unhealthy. And you just said you wanted to stop it. So
mm-hmm.
Let's find out, why is it benefiting you? Because it is. Somehow you're getting a need met, and it's something to do with control. So this is good, and you're willing to face it. So I want you to just go internally later on tonight or tomorrow and just write that word on page 16, control. How am I, what is this doing? How am I controlling this feeling? How am I getting this need met, this need of control met by being flippant or careless with money?
Mm-hmm.
And then send it to me. Email it or fax it to me, and I'll respond. But it'd be really good for you just to spend some time discerning that word and the possibility that you're getting a big need met with this behavior. It's not a healthy behavior, and you want to change it, but let's figure out the need you're getting met with this behavior, and then we can replace it with another behavior that's healthy and still get the need met. Because you have a need here, and you're getting it met in an unhealthy way.
Right.
So take the word control. Really think on that. Think of what I just said. And then let's you figure out between you and you, and you're going to know the answer. And you're going to know exactly this need you're getting met with this behavior. And then that's called freedom, Sally, because then you'll get that need met with a different behavior, a healthier behavior. Because wouldn't you agree it's okay to get your needs met?
Yes.
All right. So this is good for you. This is big. This is exciting. Anybody else have a thought about this? Do we have time for one more, Vic?
Absolutely.
This is Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Hi. First of all, if I have time for a few questions, my first question is, you always talk about maybe hiring a coach. Like, what type of coach are you talking about to hire, something like that?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. I mean, if you're looking for someone to help you break through some negative beliefs and we talked about these strongholds, looking for someone to break through strongholds, you can find a very good qualified counselor or therapist to work through this stuff. If you're looking for someone to help you break through negative beliefs to build a business, entrepreneurship, then you need to get a business building coach. So it depends on what your needs are. I mean, a soulmate is a very good counselor or a therapist. A professional therapist, a professional counselor is an answer. And then if you're looking for, again, business building tips and breaking through belief barriers to help you build a business, you need to get a business building coach.
Okay. My next question is about with religion. Okay, I used to, when I was young, I used to always see God or felt that I was close to God and to Jesus. And as I got older into my late teenager's years, I wasn't as close. And I don't know what happened in between that I break through that. I mean, I went away from that. So what kind of questions should I ask myself to find those answers?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, let me ask you something. Okay, tell me your name again.
Janet.
Janet. Okay, Janet. I want you to describe for me right now a flower. Flowers. Just describe that. What's a flower?
A flower is something that is beautiful, it's pretty, it smells good.
Look like?
Well, some flowers are multiple colors.
Okay, multiple colors.
Some flowers are just a solid color.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it sounds like you know flowers. You've seen a flower, you've experienced flowers. They're around you, right? They're a real world part of, they're a real sense of your world.
Uh-huh.
Now, I want you to describe God the Father.
Okay, well, he's like the Almighty. You know, he's what makes people do the things that they do. You know, he's there to help people. And then, now that I mentioned this, one of the things when I was younger, what I would always question is, you know, well, where did, and maybe this is part of what's stopping me, is like I would always say to myself and ask, okay, well, where did God come from? Because God's supposed, you know, supposedly he's a spirit. But even spirits, to me, they come from something or some place.
And what was your answer when you asked yourself that?
Well, I don't get anything.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting, too, and fascinating when I ask this question to people and to my audiences, they can describe flowers with such intricate detail because they have experienced them. They've spent time with flowers. They've ordered flowers. They've grown flowers. You know, and yet when I ask them to describe God the Father, most of the time when they're telling me they're not connecting with God, their description of God the Father is not It's one of judgment. It's one, oh, it's this big guy with a long beard and he sits on a throne and, you know, he keeps note of what I'm doing wrong. And so I find it fascinating that most of the time when people say they don't feel they have the connection with God, how do I get a connection with God? It's because they don't have healthy beliefs of who God is. And God promises, you search for me, you'll find me. So again, this is about going internal, going inside and asking those kind of questions, and they'll be revealed to you. Who are you, God? Show yourself to me. And he will reveal himself to you in mighty ways, because the God I know is desperately in love with you, and he pursues you every single day. And the interesting thing is, he's such a gentleman. He does not force himself on you, but he has been whispering to you for years and years and years. And that's why you're in the rich course tonight, because that's what I asked you about 20 minutes ago. Are you the person that miracles happen to? Are you the kind of person that hears from God? Are you the kind of person who is willing to acknowledge a spiritual world, the supernatural? And some people would say, no, I only believe in the physical. I only believe in reason. I only believe in logic. And that's their choice. But you're at the Rich Life Course to make a choice, make a decision. Are you open to the supernatural? Are you open to a relationship with God? And it sounds like the answer for you is yes. So my thought and my suggestion for you is to search. To search. Are you truly searching? Because the promise is, you search, you will find. You search for me, you will find me. It's a promise.
Okay, thank you.
How do you feel about searching? What does that mean to you when I say that? What does that look like?
What does it look like? It looks like it's an open area, or what I think about, it's like it's an open area, and be open-minded.
Oh, good. I like that. Okay.
Be willing, and that's what come across my mind.
Okay. I like it. Be open-minded. Be willing to entertain the possibility of the supernatural. Be willing to entertain the very real possibility that you are the type of person miracles happen to. And let's just see what happens in the next couple of days. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great.
Very good. Very powerful tonight, Lisa. So what kind of homework on top of all this?
All right. Well, let's turn on page 13 in your Rich Life Workbook. And I want you to continue stating and believing, I was born to live a rich life. You continue feeding yourself that vitamin of truth. You were born to live a rich life. You were born to be blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. And then the assignment for this week, I want you, we talked a lot about acting like the rich person you want to become, acting like the rich person you know is in you. I want to extend that a little bit more in, actually we're on page 16, I'm sorry, on page 16. It's about exposing negative beliefs about the rich life, about you having miracles happen to you, you being a person who experiences richness, you living a rich life. I want you to expose some negative beliefs. So the homework tonight is review what we just went over on those couple of pages, and then on page 16, write down those negative beliefs that really hit you tonight, that just said, wow, that's still an issue with me, or yes, that's powerful, that has some negative effect on me. Write them down. And then after you write them down, I want you to restate them. Just write them down in an empowering affirmation. You see, I don't believe that you can just stop smoking or just stop cursing or just stop a behavior. I believe you need to replace the behavior. You need to replace the habit of smoking with something else. You need to replace the negative belief with an empowering belief. You need to replace the habit of cursing with an empowering word or a positive word. I believe in replacement. So when you write down your list of negative beliefs, that's the first step, because you're exposing truth. And whenever you expose fear, expose a negative belief, expose truth, it has no power over you anymore. And then you rewrite it. This is called rewriting your family history. You rewrite it, and what you know to be true and what you choose to believe to be true, even if you don't have complete conviction tonight, right now, that you are supposed to be rich, that you were born to be blessed so you can be a blessing to others, that you are the type of person miracles happen to. Even if you don't believe that with true conviction tonight, that's all right. It begins with just stating the words. Little bit of faith, a faith like a mustard seed, and watch it grow, my friend. Because when you start feeding yourself these vitamins of truth, you adopt them. And when you adopt an empowering belief system, it becomes who you are. You want to be rich, you start giving yourself beliefs that you are the type of person who becomes rich. You're the type of person who attracts incredible people around you. You're the type of person who attracts amazing opportunities. You're the type of person who attracts loving, honest, fun people around you. You're the type of person who attracts their soulmate. You're the type of person who attracts money and opportunity. It all begins with our belief system. Do you believe you're the kind of person, the type of person, the right gender, the right race, the right nationality, the right face, everything, that miracles happen to you, good things happen to you? So that's the homework. Expose the negative beliefs and then rewrite those negative beliefs into empowering beliefs. Just change them around. Here's an example. If you have a belief of there's never enough time, I have this in my book, Conquer Fear. There's never enough time. You rewrite that belief, and how I rewrote it is, God in His infinite wisdom made 24 hours enough time. So I always tell myself, Lisa, there's enough time. There's enough time. There's enough time. And you know, when you start feeding yourself that vitamin truth, you start believing it, and you're amazed at your behavior. You start prioritizing things. You stop attracting chaos, and you believe that there really is enough time. That's the power of changing these negative beliefs and exposing them and then changing them, rewriting them into empowering beliefs.
Lisa, what can you send us home with tonight?
The very importance of being brave about, I mean, what would your life look like in a year, in 6 months, next month, if you were willing to step out in the fringe of faith, not the fringe of fear, the fringe of faith? What would your life look like if you would just be willing to entertain the possibility, the great possibility, that you are the type of person who's supposed to live the rich life? You are the type of person that miracles happen to. What would your life look like in a month, in 6 months, in a year? Think on that, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Lisa. Good night, everyone.